And I thought it wholly appropriate today to talk about this. I heard this passage a while ago, listening to a sermon, and it stuck with me as I knew what our church family was approaching. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to this with me. It'll also be on the screen. This is from the English Standard Version. 1 Peter 4:10. Each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Peter wrote this letter from Rome to churches throughout Asia Minor. And it was mainly a letter to encourage the young church to endure persecution. This is what the English Standard Version, the intro to the book, says about 1 Peter. They are to remain faithful in times of distress, knowing that God will vindicate them and that they will certainly enjoy the salvation that the Lord has promised. Christ's death and resurrection are the models for believers. Let me read that again. Christ's death and resurrection are the models for believers. Just as Christ suffered and then entered into glory, so too his followers will suffer before being exalted. It turns out the scholars believe it was only a few years after Peter wrote this that he was imprisoned. Some think he may have been imprisoned when he wrote it. They're not sure, but he was imprisoned and killed for his faith. This book is about martyrdom and dying for your faith. It's heavy stuff, and don't worry, that's not the focus this morning. Martyrdom in that sense. If you were here last week, you know that my family recently went through a transition. You might argue we're still going through this a bit. Carrie resigned from her position here at the church as our administrator because she took a position at Colorado Christian University. We've been fortunate to have Carrie at home for most of our girls' lives and an upbringing. We felt that was important and it was vital. We made many sacrifices to make that happen. And as college approached, for Grace, my oldest, I have four daughters, the cost of higher education became a harsh reality. And I say harsh is a bit of an understatement. It was more of a kick you in the face, like square on in the face, and you fall down, and then you continue to be kicked. That is, and I don't know why that surprised. I mean, I'm usually sort of on top of these things. There are some things that maybe you refuse to be on top of because it's denial. But it was significant. We were determined, though, as a family, not to plunge the girls or our family into debt to pull this off. As of September of last year, so 2023, student debt in America had a balance of over $1.73 trillion. So I won't go into all the details, but the Lord provided a way. He used some people in this room, in fact, to help us as we began the semester with no idea where all the money would come from. And then Carrie got a position at CCU. This allows our girls to get a biblically based Christian education tuition free. Thank you, Jesus. It's an amazing blessing for our family. But with this job, and I think even there, amen to God's faithfulness. But with this job, I apologize, I might do this a lot after singing, came some big changes for our family. Turns out, Carrie does a lot. Thank you, Jill. You idiot. She does a lot, okay? So we had as close to a family meeting as we have at our house, which is just dinner, you know. And we said, all right, girls, this is going to happen, and there's going to be some holes in what happens around here. We're going to have to fill these holes. We were going through a major transition, and it was going to be an all-hands-on-deck type of deal. Part of this was Grace as well, leaving our home to go live on campus. The oldest sister role, the firstborn role, was being vacated. So we were all the girls were shifting a bit into these new things. I mean, it was a transition. We were challenged in much the same way I believe that our church family both has been challenged and will be challenged as we've gone through many transitions the last few years. So we like to eat at our house, and it's a rare night that we don't have dinner together. We've made that a priority. And we explained to the girls we're going to need some help preparing the evening meal. Nora, who is not with us this morning, she's going on a missions trip and had a meeting for that. But Nora accepted this challenge. And prior to this, I would say that Nora wasn't much of a culinary artist. She had some basics down, scrambled eggs, mac and cheese, that sort of thing, but just basics. Well, it just so happened that at the beginning of the school year, too, and this was before Carrie got her position, that Nora enrolled in a culinary nutrition course at school. She gained a bit of an interest and intrigue in some of the topics and dishes discussed in class, so much that she was willing to give some of them a try at home. Her school schedule permitted her to be home on most evenings when the spring musical wasn't in full swing. You theater families know all about that. And she took on the role of making supper for our family on a lot of nights. And we're not talking about scrambled eggs and mac and cheese. And I see Bob has got it up there. We are talking about Dijon chicken and potatoes. It was delicious. My favorite, though, the Cuban crispy shredded beef. Bob, go to the, oh. And these are, by the way, these are not plates that Nora prepared. These are representations. This is her inspiration. Yeah. You should see our plates at our house. Yeah, that ain't it. But the Cuban crispy shredded beef, I cannot recommend it highly enough. One day, she decided to use our heavy whipping cream and churn butter. I didn't take a picture of that because picture a blob of butter. Not very shapely. I'm not making this up. And for Christmas, she made a lemon bundt cake. For Easter, she tried an Earl Grey tea cake. She prepared us a chicken broccoli pasta dish. Pasta is my weakness. That was to die for. And she tried a chicken and rice soup that we all thoroughly enjoyed. And she's perfected cubed seasoned potatoes in the air fryer. I mean, not a better seasoned potato. It is likely, and there are many more, but these were some of my highlights. It is likely, church, that without this change in our family dynamic, that Nora wouldn't have discovered her love and enjoyment of cooking for others, of planning healthy, nutritional meals for our family. She was thrust, or perhaps pushed, into this role. And she has not only excelled in it, but it brings her fulfillment and purpose. She's filling an essential role in our home. Due to the changing circumstances, the transition, she stepped up. We've all had to step up to some degree in our home. And the truth is, church, that Nora could have been doing it all along, maybe, potentially, but it is our transition that allowed her this opportunity. And our transition at AWCC is going to provide many of you with an opportunity to serve this body, to serve one another. Now, I want us to go back to the verse that we started with. You don't have to stand up, but let's read this together. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. It starts out by saying, as each has received a gift. Each here in the Greek means, and I'm going to butcher all of these, so let me just tell you that. Hekistos. It means each. Or every, as in every woman, one, or man, as in every one. It is important that we pause here for a moment. It doesn't say, for some have received a gift. He doesn't say some. He doesn't say most of you have received a gift. He doesn't say only a select few have received a gift. it clearly says each has received a gift. That means you. If you are here today and you claim Christ as Messiah, you've been given a gift from God, a gift and a calling to serve the body of Christ. We're going to jump over to Romans. If you want to turn to Romans 12:4-8, it'll be up here. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches is teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The word gift in 1 Peter 4:10 and the word gifts in Romans 12, verse 6, it's the same word. This surprised me. The word is charisma. Anybody know that or think that? I did not know that. The Greek word charisma, it means favor freely given or gift of grace. It comes from the verb, again, I apologize, charisthai, which means to favor, and the noun charis, meaning grace. It means favor or gift. In English, charisma was originally used in Christian contexts to refer to a gift or power bestowed upon an individual by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. This is a gift bestowed upon us after conversion that the Holy Spirit has given us to serve the body, and He gave every one of us one when we made that decision. Verse goes on to say, back to 1 Peter, use it to serve one another. So as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. This seems self-explanatory, but let's talk about it for just a minute. I believe that this is one of the many indisputable points in Scripture that make it clear that our Christian life is meant to be lived in community. There are a lot of ways that we can serve one another, but nearly all of them involve being with one another. In Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Church, how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't know what they are? And how can you know what one another's burdens are if we aren't together in community and fellowship, sharing our lives with one another? In James 5:16, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Confession and prayer. This requires that we know one another, that we've been together. Our church mission statement involves three directives. Say them with me. Anybody? This is not really a test, but number one is following Jesus Christ, doing life together, and serving our neighbors. Well, what we're talking about here today is directives two and three, kind of a hybrid, that doing life together could as easily say serving one another. And obviously the serving of our neighbors is more of a missional serving, but this doing life together, this is essential to our life together as a body. In 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 25, it says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell?" Is that right? We're an ear. Where would be the sense of smell? Oh, yeah. Sorry. That makes sense. "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. This passage tells us that we all have a role to play in this life of faith. We all work together, and if one chooses to observe and not participate, there's something lacking. We're missing something. We're intended to be one. The members may have the same care for one another. About 17 years ago, and some of you remember this, I had an accident. I won't go into all the details, but I lost part of my finger. Maybe you don't know that. My left index finger. I happen to be left-handed. And if you have ever suffered any injury to your dominant hand that left you without the use of it for any length of time, you know how important that is. I would challenge you to tape up your dominant hand for just one day and see how that works for you. You don't even realize the things that, I challenge you and tell me how that goes for you. In fact, I can attest to how important just the tip of the index finger on your dominant hand is. It changes the way you do everything for some time. Everything. Now, it may not be a great analogy because obviously, you know, I figured it out, right? I've got some workarounds. I favor some guitar chords over others. I think Greg would claim I've probably invented some that aren't really supposed to be like that. My gloves don't fit so well, so floppy. I hate that. I do hold my pencil a little different, but I manage. But I'll tell you this, church. If I could have it back, I would. It changes things. It had an important role. The verse in 1 Peter goes on to say, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Steward here means probably what you think it means. It implies a manager or an overseer. It even implies a fiscal agent. And as a fiduciary, and gosh, Janine, you know this. I mean, if it will scare the crap out of you before you ever say, yes, I will be a fiduciary for you or I'll have a fiduciary responsibility, you better read up on that because you cannot think about yourself and any. I mean, this is all about caring for the other person. You have any decision you make is about them and their finances first. I mean, there's ramifications if you don't do that. It's an important responsibility. It should be taken seriously. It is big time stuff. You're not just a steward of your family, a company, and those are important things, or pets seem to have a bigger role in our, you know, society today. But you are a steward of God's grace. And do you know what grace did? I mean, grace changed the course of humankind. Grace changed our universe. And I'm not exaggerating. It's not hyperbole. It changed everything for us. We have been asked to be stewards of this. And it also says, and I wasn't sure what to do with this part, it says varied. I was like, I don't know, maybe we'll just skip over that part. What's that supposed to mean, God's varied grace? The King James refers to it as manifold grace. That didn't help me. I don't know if it does you. And I recommend, it is fun when you're looking at Scripture and studying the Bible to just, and it's so easy now, some of the electronic stuff, but it's so easy to put the different versions next to one another. So I went to the King James. But it said manifold grace of God. It didn't help me. So again, I got a Greek lesson these last couple weeks. But the word used here is poikilos, And again, probably said that wrong. And it means motley, varied in character. Motley also implies colorful in certain contexts. So for me, this distinction of God's manifold or varied grace, it only enhances it. This to me means that God can express his love and grace and compassion on you and to you any way that he wants. And you had better be prepared for him to express his colorful and varied grace to others in any way he wants. It may look very different. He's got a license to use it. But remember, church, and I wish I could give you a formula here, but I can't. Somehow, in some vital role, in some necessary role, we, each of us who have received Christ, we are stewards, we are managers, we are fiscal agents of this motley and varied grace. That's some important stuff. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Applewood family, we long to grow as we look to this next season. I want to leave us with a few main points to ponder. Number one, prayerfully consider your gift and how you are to use it to minister to this body. It is not intended to be optional. We've all got to serve one another for communities like these, for faith communities like these, to strive or to thrive and to grow. We long to start our Lafia Wednesday night meals back up, but we need someone to help head that up. We have one official full-time sound guy. Thank you, Andy Platt. Me and Jeremy are part-timers. We're up here and back there. One. We could use some help splitting those duties. Our facilities team, Dennis, who, man, I hate to ask, yeah, the stuff he has to put up with, and Mark Beckler's a big help there, but, man, we could use some handy men and women. I've often had people, well, and it's just one of those things. You're like, hey, there's a light bulb out. Who's going to fix it? I'm like, well, I could. You could. We could. So we'll figure it out, you know. But some of these things, we could just, there are places and opportunities to serve. Number two, transitions, while hard, can refine us and push us to places we couldn't get to otherwise. I encourage you to embrace it. Moses gave God one heck of a time when God told him to go talk to Pharaoh. I'm not a great speaker. You really need to find someone else, God. Forget about this. What about Jonah? I am not going to Nineveh. I hate those guys. I'm not going. God's like, oh, yes, you are. Pushed him into the water. I mean, what a crazy story. My point being, I don't care if you go comfortably. Maybe it's not supposed to be comfortable for you. Number three, let God's varied and motley grace minister to you and use it to minister to others. We have both an opportunity and a responsibility to be a steward of God's grace. And I think that can mean a whole lot of things. But always be mindful. Be intentional of how you can best use and represent His grace as our responsibility, first and foremost. We've had to find a few workarounds during our times of transition at Applewood. But I want to encourage us all to step up, to be like Nora. Be a Nora. Excel at a role you were designed to fill. Step up. This transition will usher us into a brand new season here at AWCC. And the truth is, Applewood family, that we've had quite a long transition. We've walked with Guy and Charissa through Guy's cancer journey. As we thought we were getting to the end of that, we had a pandemic. We shrunk significantly. After the pandemic, Guy retired. We had a year to get used to that. That was a big transition, right? Then we were transitioning. Then we had Dave. and he led us through this transition. The next transition, next Sunday, in fact, of Nathan and Jess. Amen. We've had a long season of transition. Many of you have stepped up. You filled vital roles. But the truth is, church family, there are more roles to fill. And it turns out, they're all vital. They all matter. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to serve one another, as Scripture asks us to, now is the time. It's going to take a motley crew to oversee and manage God's grace to this family of faith. There is work to be done, and we are all needed. Let's pray. Father, we cannot wait for Nathan and Jess to get here. We thank you that you have walked with us every step of the way along this journey. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us great favor here in our small family of faith. Lord, challenge each of us today to know what our role might or could be in this new season. There will be many opportunities. Father, help us to go away from this place to allow your Spirit to speak to us and challenge us. Thank you so much for Dave and Susan's service. We pray that you'll be with them in their time away. And be preparing Nathan and Jess to join us next Sunday as we'll celebrate communion together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.